Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart, and happy Black History Month. If you ever wonder why Black History Month is in February, well, its precursor was Negro History Week, first proposed by Black historian Carter G. Woodson. He was also an educator. He happened to teach at the first public high school for African Americans in this country, which yours truly, your host, is going to give a plug to her book, First Class, which I wrote all about that. They said it was okay that I did that. Carter G. Woodson and the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History, they chose this month because it coincided with President Lincoln's birthday on February 12th and Frederick Douglass's birthday on February 14th. So all this month, here at All of It, we want to give you a few suggestions on what you can do this month in New York City to learn more about Black History Month and also to engage more with it. So joining us today is Lisa Coleman. She is NYU's first Chief Diversity Officer and the Senior Vice President for Global Inclusion, Diversity, and Strategic Innovation. Lisa, welcome to the studios.
Thank you so much. It's delightful to be here.
So tell us about your role at NYU. You were the first Chief Diversity Officer? Wow.
Yes, I am. And it's very exciting. I just joined the institution about 13 months ago. And my role is really to think about inclusion, diversity, belonging, and equity across the institution. And I work with the president and our senior leadership. And we have, and my role is global because we also have the NYU campus. We have a campus in Abu Dhabi and we have a campus in Shanghai. And so I think about access for our students, faculty and staff, and how we are actually making sure that they feel like they have a sense of belonging as they do all of their activities, research, teaching, and all the other things they do at NYU.
When you came in, you made your list of priorities.
Yes.
What's on that list?
The list of priorities are really to engage the idea of inclusion and innovation and where those things intersect. NYU is an incredibly entrepreneurial and innovative institution, and one of the things we want to really think about is how are people of color, women, people with disabilities entering into the new sectors, into the new work sectors that we think about as we graduate our students and making sure they're prepared and that we're giving them access to enter into higher education.
I know all folks at institutions in the diversity world, everybody knows each other. I do a lot of panels and it's like, hey, you again. Yeah, see you in Atlanta. See you in Chicago. Okay.
So true.
What trends are you seeing regarding, for example, I'll give our listeners, for a while everybody was a chief diversity officer and then all of a sudden everyone realized, oh, you need to have conclusion. You just can't have numbers.
That's
you
right.
have to actually have inclusion at organizations. So I'm interested in what some of the trends are.
That's exactly right. So for a long time, people did think diversity, just having the numbers, that was going to be enough. And next, the sort of trend is exactly what you're saying, thinking about inclusion. How are we including? And in fact, there's a great TED Talk by Verna Myers where she talks about the dance, right? Mm-hmm. And diversity is having people to dance. Inclusion is asking people to dance. And then what we get to is belonging, right? And that's really thinking about how do people feel like they belong? Feel like they are full participants, members of the community in which they're participating? And then equity. How are we thinking about resources, equitable distribution, and not just back to the 1960s civil rights equity conversation, but what does access look like today? And that's very different than it looked like in 1960. So when we think about the trends, I think it's certainly about belonging. And it's also, as I sort of mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. also about innovation and thinking about where, if we think about data science and we think about new opportunities for people in technology, in the arts, we are looking at those new fields and exploring that and also how people from diverse backgrounds have access to that.
I also know one big trend in education is to get departments out of their silos, to have
yes.
intersections between science and art, between architecture and med school. How do you think that plays into the role of diversity on a campus? How does diversity play into that role of getting out of silos?
Absolutely. Interdisciplinary work and transdisciplinary work and thinking about innovation, you need diversity for that. And it's really interesting that you should bring that up because one of the things that we're doing at NYU is we're opening a space where we're bringing three of our schools together in Brooklyn, which is our Tisch School of the Arts, our Business School, and our Tandon School of Engineering. And one of the things is lots of companies have been super interested in that because it brings together some things that historically haven't necessarily been brought together and to really think about interdisciplinary in a new way.
My guest is Lisa M. Coleman. She is the first Chief Diversity Officer at NYU. So one of the things we've been talking about on the show is ways that people can get involved and programming that's been going on around the city. Some of it has already happened. That's okay. You at NYU, they have something called MLK Week during during Black History Month. And it's been going on for 14 years. What is MLK Week and what's the focus this year?
MLK Week is has been around for about 14 years at NYU. It started in the Division of Student Affairs, and now it's one of our signature events at NYU out of the Office of Global Inclusion. And the focus this year, and this is African Heritage Month for us, and we call it African Heritage Month because we focus on the diaspora and really mm-hmm. thinking about, we have students from across the globe at NYU. And this year we focused on what's left of the dream, to really think about where we are in terms of fulfilling the dream as outlined by MLK, and where do we continue to have work mm-hmm. to do, and where can we also continue to dream and to imagine new possibilities. And so we had a few panelists who came with us we had a discussion last night, and it was and I think what was really terrific was that we had over 2,000 students and participants who actually came out, and we've had a series of events, of sold-out events all week, really to address MLK Jr., mm-hmm. and that tells us something about the new generations being engaged with these conversations, and that's really exciting.
Why is it important to convey to NYU students and all the campuses what MLK's dream was and why it isn't fulfilled?
Because we still have work to do in terms of how we think about, when we're training leaders, how they're going to have impact in the future, and what they can do to actually create better access for all people, whether that's women, people of color, people with disabilities, people across different ages, religion, different backgrounds. And since that's part of what we do in the educational environment, is really train students to go out into the world to be the best that they can be. And if we're thinking about Martin Luther King's dream, it really was, how are we going to come together to make the best society that we can? And how do we do for others, not just ourselves? And that, to me, is what we're trying to do in the educational arena. And we want to teach that to our students.
What feedback do you get from students? What are, when you talk about diversity and you talk about Black History Month and African Heritage Month, as it's known as NYU, what do they want to talk about?
Well, this is why it was so exciting for them to show up in droves.
That's
over
what I mean.
Like
the Q&A must have been interesting.
Yes, right. And so we've had a series of events, as I said, this week. The first, we started on talking about actually economics. As many people know, MLK Jr. was really interested in these intersections of capital, the economy, and how we think about civil rights. And then the next discussion we had was on sports, and really about race and gender in sports. And we actually had that conversation on National Girl and Women in Sports Day. And these are the kinds of conversations that the students want to have. They want to raise conversations about what's pertinent to them. Athletics is very important, and sort of celebrity and what that means to them. Things in terms of a program that we had last night, and thinking about the conversation with Roxane Gay and others. The social media conversation is very important to students, and all of that has emerged over the course of this last week.
Let's talk about that last night. You had this this event, and Roxane Gay was there. She's awesome. And Cynthia Erivo, who was starring The Color Purple on Broadway, yes. and an actress, wonderful singer. And then Hari Kandel, he's actually hosted this midday show. What were some of the highlights? What were some of the things, the takeaways from that conversation?
Well, I think one of the highlights was actually when one of the questions that Kirk James, a faculty member at NYU, as the moderator asked, was what, if you could reframe the dream, what would you say? And Roxane Gay and others said, we would reframe it as a plan. What's our plan? And I think that's very interesting to think about, what is the plan for today, and how do we move forward thinking about what's left to fulfill? If we think about Martin Luther King Jr., who came to NYU during this week, and that's part of the reason that we celebrate our week at NYU, this was the speech that he gave, was the future of integration. And he ends that speech with free at last, right? And where are we still not free? I think those are the questions that we have to ask. And so if we think about that, how do we plan, and how do we plan to be free in those spaces? And I think those are some real questions that for our students to think about, then how can they participate in those plans?
I want to get back to, like, what did students ask?
Yes. Well,
sometimes students ask crazy long questions, and then sometimes they go right for it. I've moderated a lot of these panels, and the Q&A section is always sort of a, Now we go to Q&A. Yes. You never know what you're going to get.
Well, students are. They were asking questions like, what can we do next? What are the things, what kinds of actions can we take to make for a better society? When we think about the movements of Black Lives Matter, queer lives in terms of transgender issues, mm-hmm. they were asking lots of questions about intersectionality, how they can work together, what that looks like in the future, how they can move the agenda of the new civil rights movement forward. And those were most of the questions that the students ask.
I think it's interesting because they're born between 1998 and 2002, if they're undergrads, right?
Yes, that's right. And what we're seeing is these students are very engaged in the issues of today. And they're, while we can, the issues are not the same as they were certainly in 1966 when Martin Luther King was giving some of these some of these speeches, but some of the issues are not so dissimilar. We still have issues around housing. We still have issues around access. We still have issues around police brutality. And so these are the kinds of issues that the students are engaged with and want to ask questions about how they can do the work to make these things better.
That's interesting because that's been sort of the wrap on this group is get off, you know, don't tweet about it. Do something.
Yes.
Don't boo vote. Don't tweet vote.
That's exactly right. And I think that's the process of higher education, right? Is to say, we're trying to educate you about how to direct your energies. And that's why I think last night's panel was so great. Because if you think about what Hari, Roxanne, and Cynthia were talking about, they were providing the students with action plans to say, these are the kinds of things that you can do. And they're also role modeling the kinds of things that you can do.
My guest is Lisa M. Coleman. She is NYU's first chief diversity officer. So tomorrow marks the last day of MLK week at NYU. What happens on the last day?
The last day is a day of service, and we are very excited about that because what we've done this year is we have actually partnered with a number of Black restaurants and prominent chefs across NYU, including Sure We Can, City on Meals, Xavier Mission, Changing the Present, Go Project, Cherry Eye. I just want to make sure we get them all.
Housing Works, you've done.
Association to the Benefit Children, Food Bank NYU, Spellbound Theater, Greenwich House, Public Color, PS329, Surfside School, The Common Pantry. And we've really partnered with all these organizations so that our students, our faculty and staff can go out and work with all of these organizations to make sure that we are providing meals to as many folks as we can across the city.
Why was service an important part of this week?
Service is important, as it was important to Martin Luther King mm-hmm. Jr., but it's important to us as an educational institution. We want to make sure that we're giving back to the community in which we exist and that our students understand that it's important to be part of the community in which they live and that they can build connections with people that they might not otherwise build connections with. Part of this is really to think about who's in our community and not just those that they might see in their classrooms, but those who are actually disenfranchised and what they can do to be helpful in those spaces.
Can anybody join up?
Yes, that's right.
Oh,
everybody
really?
Can sign up. It's we really make it a day of service where everyone can join in.
And how would folks do that?
They can contact diversity at NYU.
Diversity NYU. Lisa M. Coleman, Chief Diversity Officer from NYU. Thank you so much for coming by and good luck in your new position.
Thank you so much.
That's our show. Thanks for listening, everybody. All of it is produced by Megan Ryan, Rosie Guerin, Catherine Millsop, Andres O'Hara, Ursula Summer, Simon Close, Jordan Lauf, and Pilar Belendez de Shea. Matt Miranda is our music engineer, and our music is by Luscious Jackson. You can follow us. If I can get this out on Instagram and Twitter @allofitwnyc. I'm Allison Stewart. Until next time, be good.